If you're looking for a clean, sober, professional, academic,
well-researched, historically accurate, generally accurate, serious podcast
on Southern folklore, ghosts, bizarre events, and unique people,
this podcast is not for you.
However, if you've decided you can live with that,
then join us for The Strange South. Let's stay together.
Welcome to the Strange South sing-along. I have no idea why that's stuck in my head.
That's a great jam.
That's a good one.
It's a really
good song.
It's I love that song. Thanks, Pulp Fiction, for bringing that to an entire other generation of people.
Did you watch Pulp Fiction recently or something?
No, it's I honestly have no clue why it's stuck in my head, but something did it. Oh, hi, Patrice.
Hi, Marlea.
Hi, Courtney.
Hey, Courtney.
Hi, y'all. Mommy just texted and said, thanks for everything you did.
Oh, so nice.
I was distracted.
It's been a big... it's been a big week for several of our crew.
Everybody's moving.
It has.
Big wife moments.
Fucking God, it's over.
And Courtney's cheers. Like, it's only beginning. Cheers to all of you who have been having big life moments.
Absolutely.
Whenever this appears in the internet radio.
Yep. And also remember, take your meds.
Take your meds. It's important. Take your meds.
Take your meds. Go get reevaluated.
Make your mom take her meds.
Make your mom take her meds.
Do all of that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, I guess...
When have we been here last? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? Two weeks?
It's been a few weeks.
A week or two.
Yeah, it has. I have no memory of time right now.
Patrice told a story last time. We had... Oh, you were sick. Everybody was sick. Everybody went straight from being sick to... Because we had a
tea.
Wee dram.
Yeah, that's wee dram right. With a tea.
We had a wee dram.
That's right. Well, how you feeling?
I feel like I've had tequila today.
And it's going to keep happening.
It's always good.
Yes. Yes, so tell us about this delicious drink.
So this is a margarita.
Mm-hmm.
And again, lots of sickness in the last few months, lots of antibiotics, so not a lot of drinking, which is, again, the wee dram.
Mm-hmm.
So this Friday was the celebration time because Patrice had a big event, and then we all wanted to celebrate, and so we had margaritas. And Patrice and I went back to my house because we didn't want to stop having margaritas. And I was like, you know what? Let's go over. Marlea said she was going to write a story for work or something.
And I did. I finished it drunk. Thank you very much.
Well, that wasn't because of me. You have to blame our Mexican restaurant for that.
That was
they were like really
pretty
good.
Damn stiff margaritas they were serving at lunch that day.
And like, so I made us one and I was like, oh, I've got all the things to make a margarita, except I don't have any limes, but I have all this citrus. So I squeezed some lemons and I squeezed some oranges, which happened to be blood oranges. Didn't know when I bought them.
Yeah, I was like, who sells blood oranges around here?
They were at Johnson's, and they were listed under small navel oranges. They didn't know they were blood orange.
Oh, wow.
They were the color of grapefruit inside. Yeah. They were darker pink.
Well, the first one I opened, like, to just eat, I was like, oh, my God, is this it? No, I was like, no, it's an orange. It's not a grapefruit. And it's small navel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought maybe that was just one. I got three, and all three were... blood oranges.
Wow, because I've looked for blood oranges and I haven't been able to find them.
Go to Johnson's under small navel. That was like a week ago, though.
Small navel.
And so I squeezed those and I squeezed some lemons and then I said, let's just have a no lime margarita. That's what these are.
Mm-hmm.
No lime margaritas, orange juice, fresh squeezed. And they look very bright. They look like if someone were to hand me this, I'd be like, you got that fake stuff from like the from the fountain machine, the plastic clear square.
It's like high-vis yellow.
Yeah. So with Cointreau, though, and simple syrup with a Sauger rim.
It's very good.
So good.
It's so
it's
bright,
like it's
though.
It's sweet and refreshing. It's refreshing. It's not... I was going to say, it's sweet in the way that, like, normally a margarita is tart, and this isn't tart.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not sweet like saccharin sweet.
Because it's got the lemon balances out the orange juice.
It's good. It's just refreshing.
I was really surprised at how
which is it's bad, were. Probably bad. I mean, it's probably one of those that like you're gonna just drink until you're sick.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've already finished. Mine,
so.
Yeah.
So good times.
Good times.
Very bright yellow, though.
Thanks for creating that. Did you bring something to show us today? What is
Oh, we can talk about that now or in the B side.
Okay.
Called Punish Me Daddy. It sounds like it's more B-side material, don't you think?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You want to know more about Punish Me Daddy? Listen next week.
Are we that kind
week.
Of podcast mm-hmm. now? Mm-hmm.
Listen Daddy next issues. Week.
You may find out.
Next week. On the B-side.
What other stuff we got? What do we got?
You know, my weeks have been so full of just behind the computer that I have like zero.
Mm-hmm.
I've got zero,
mm-hmm.
but I'm back, and I don't know what else to say other than I'm so relieved that everything that's been going on since Thanksgiving, like I've been like just working my ass off since Thanksgiving, it's done, so I've been a little bit behind on all the Strange South stuff.
But we're gonna She's fine.
Pick it up.
Patrice's version of behind is everybody else's version of on time.
And we're going to move it forward. And we're going to do things and be awesome. Fuck, I don't know.
Well, I was just going to say.
It's interesting. You're still talking about that.
We're not
going to. She's still going. What's she trying to say?
I don't know. I'm trying to end is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to not talk, but I can't shut up.
Because like, the things have been going on. You don't necessarily want to tell everybody about like, you know, good life things, but feels like okay.
Everybody is so curious. The more we talk about it, they're all going to be like, "What is it?"
You've been doing that are very important. Have taken a lot of time. You just can't necessarily share what all those are. But I was able to
decided to become an astronaut.
I was there to experience some of those decisions, and I'll say,
you just outed me as an astronaut. God damn it!
The hell did that come from? That's like the last thing I'm gonna be thinking about, astronaut.
Oh. Yes, Courtney, I'm sorry. I was.
Oh, hell, that's funny. I'm on with
that's
it.
That's what I'm here for.
I was. Yeah, no.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry.
I was just trying to find it.
With that snort, we'll be right back.
Do you want more Strange South every week? We can help. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and you can join our Facebook fan group, Fans of the Strange South Podcast, to keep the chat going with our whole creepy community. Do you have a story idea for us, or a story of your own to share? Email us at stories@thestrangesouth.com. Plus, if you join our Patreon, you not only help support the podcast, you get free swag, extras, exclusives, and a discount on merch. You can find links to all these things on our website, thestrangesouth.com, along with photos, links, and show notes from every episode. Strange South t-shirts, mugs, stickers, and other goodies. See you there.
I think what you need in this situation is just simply more duct tape.
I agree. I'm not screwing that in.
No, it's just, you just need more. If a couple strips doesn't work, then 50. Because it's duct tape.
You can make like a little duct tape hammock.
Just let it hammock from the ceiling.
Ooh, interesting.
It's a popcorn ceiling.
Goddamn popcorn ceilings. I hate those.
Popcorn ceilings.
Let's so we need to put somebody on the research of like whose idea was popcorn ceilings.
Mm-hmm.
And then just send a bunch of hate mail.
Yeah. Send a bunch of glitter.
So you know what you'll send? A bunch of fucking foam.
Popcorn ceiling is what we'll send. A bunch of popcorn ceiling.
You know why? I know why. Todd told me why. And I'm sure this is true. It's so that you don't have to smooth it out. You just spray it on. You don't have to worry about it.
It's the same thing for like textured walls. Yeah. You have textured walls when your walls are fucked up and you don't want to fix it.
See, but then it became one of those things that showed up on HGTV, and it became one of those things, textured walls became one of those things that was like, you can buy special brushes for certain textures, and you can do all these different things, and it was like an artistic...
Oh, yeah, because, like, artists have fucking fucked up walls.
Man, like, we bought an 1890s brick house.
Right, exactly. And, like, we're just going to mix sand in the paint, and it'll be fine.
And it is. It is fine. It'll be fine. Everything's fine. That's the message that we hope to leave you with today.
It's going
to
be fine.
It's going to be fine.
Yep. You're fine. You're good. Everything's fine.
We're good.
I have a story.
That's awesome.
But it's like not a story story. It's a story. We're going to talk.
Okay.
And I have 7 points.
Oh my God.
It's like an essay, but it's a story. It
like a PowerPoint presentation?
I don't have a PowerPoint presentation, no. I read somewhere that those aren't welcome. I don't know.
Well, especially on the radio.
On the radio, they don't work so good.
Internet radio.
Do, do. So I mentioned this a little while back, and you guys may recall it because I'd start working on it, like, and then I'd quit, and then I'd start working on it. But what?
Probably not.
You get a witch's finger. What do you remember about the Song of the South from your childhood?
Oh,
a bluebird.
Mr. Bluebird on your shoulder.
Because it was like animation and live people. That's what I remember most about it.
It was animation mixed with live.
I didn't understand what that meant. I was just fascinated. Like, oh, I wanted a bright bluebird like that.
I know, right? Their eyes are so huge. What about you? What do you remember about it? You remember Zippity Doo Dah?
Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zip-a-doo-dah.
Mr. Bluebird sitting on my shoulder. That's what I remember. I remember a black man and a bluebird.
Black man and a bluebird. Mm-hmm.
So that's all I can tell you I remember for real.
That's the full extent.
That's it.
Okay. So so you don't know whether you actually watched the whole thing as kids or not.
Oh, I'm sure I did. I assume you did. Yeah.
Yeah. Multiple times probably, but that's the one thing that like left.
Yeah. I didn't watch it like I watched like the Little Mermaid that I know still forward and backwards, and then Beauty and the Beast. And
no, there are lots of reasons for that.
Yeah. Because it didn't exist anymore. It didn't come out on video.
No. Well, yeah. So there's a lot of things that like, I think there's some things that people like people. And so people, the strange South angle on this for me is that there's a certain like group of Southerners who is obsessed with like just digging their talons into this movie and like desperately defending it against all comers. You know what? And it's just so bizarre to me.
Like Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. I imagine the Disney thing.
Oh, I'm sure it's because like they grew up with it, and so they associate it more with childhood than actual, because they don't know fucking anything else.
Maybe I would think, but it came out in 1946, so we're talking like really old people.
Oh, that's how old it was.
It mixed animation, like that's ahead of its time.
That's why they remember it a little bit,
but it wasn't the first time it had ever happened. I don't think so.
It's like Harvey, and they did. Harvey
I'm
Rabbit.
Sure they had to do a something anniversary then, because that's the only way I knew about it.
Well, it's interesting. They have re-released it multiple times.
Okay,
but then they re-release it, and they always take it back, and they re-release it, and they take it back. So
I remember you saying this. Did we talk about this briefly? Before?
I touched on it in something, because it was what I think it might have been the episode where we talked about the riddles.
Yeah,
it was like a B-side, I think, that we talked about the riddles.
Okay,
because I came on the riddles while researching this, because I was looking at Brer Rabbit stuff and folklore, and I came into all these riddles,
which was the folklore that was taken from the enslaved people and published by a white guy.
Yeah. So, but you said you knew about that.
Joel Chandler Harris.
So you both knew Joel Chandler Harris.
Well, I read that because of
the Uncle Remus story.
Right. Because I have a master's in English. That's really the only reason, though.
So you read it as a college student.
Mm-hmm. I read it as a child.
Okay.
I did not.
I was brought up on all that.
Your parents read it to you, or was it a school thing? Your parents read it to you?
No, not school, but parents.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I didn't have any connection to it when I was a kid, except for I had
Southern Lit is probably what I read it.
Oh, in. Yeah. That makes
not
sense.
Black Lit.
Yeah. Southern Lit.
But I was trying to remember. I don't know.
I had a bunch of Disney sing-along records, like vinyl albums Disney sing-alongs. Mm-hmm. And they had always, when I was a kid, which, you know, so usually this would have been like 1980, 1981. And they always had Brer Rabbit and Brer Fox and Brer Bear on the front.
Right.
And because the songs, like you were singing, Zippity Doo Dah, was one of the, like, it may have even won awards.
Oh,
Zippity Doo Dah was very catchy.
It's a catchy song.
And
he's got a beautiful voice.
And The Laughing Place was another song that came off of that that was really popular from Song of the South.
I don't remember that.
And it was weird. I didn't remember it until I started rewatching it. And then I was like, oh, fuck, I remember this one.
You know, they still have like Brer Rabbit and Brer Fox and one of the rods on Disney.
Not anymore, actually.
I beg to differ.
2020, they took it down.
Because I went 2021.
Is that when you got COVID?
Mm-hmm.
Did they, was it on Splash Mountain?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, in Florida?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they took down the California one in 2020 and took down the Florida one. Because the Florida one's because closed
it was,
down too,
it, well, it was very ambiguous, but they were still using the characters and it was still very much in because I was like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm. And that's the most recent Song of the South controversy is that Disney was closing down Splash Mountain. So Disney's Splash Mountain ride has been themed Song of the South since it was originally put up in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And they've recently shut down, and I think they've recently shut down both of them. And if I'm, it may even be this year that they finally shut down the one in Florida. But they're retheming them for Princess and the Frog because it's Bayou. It's, you know, I mean, it's right. a lot
New
of
Orleans.
The same. They can really like yeah. repurpose the imagery and the set design and everything Ooh. For it, but they just need to freshen it up. And there was like Nazi people who were like protesting at Disney complaining that they had let the Song of the South Splash Mountain ride go to shit. Like it had gotten to where it was having issues and people would have delays and it would get stuck and stuff like this. And they were like, you did this on purpose because it's Song of the South and you're just fucking woke liberals and blah, 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 blah.
Oh my God.
You can tell yeah. how I feel about that because I'm using voices.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
culture.
Yeah.
You're canceling but, you know, Song of the South.
I know, but, but the rides then, if they came out in the early 80s or it may have been the late 80s, but the rides are like 30 years old. You know, I
yeah,
mean, like
they're pretty
they're
old.
Actually going to need more repair.
And,
so
and you can
time.
Tell when you're like on Splash Mountain or if you're on like, was it Splash? I don't think it was Splash Mountain. What's the one where it's like the wildest ride in the wilderness?
Is that not Splash Mountain? It's a flume ride. It's a water ride.
It's not a water ride.
Oh, I don't know then. Splash Mountain is the one that's
but
a
they
flume
use,
that has theirs.
But they use Brer Rabbit and Brer Fox
See, I'll
in
have
that
to look
ride. Because I was like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, look, they still got this shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was surprised. And then I got COVID.
And then you got COVID.
And then I got COVID.
Well, like,
I forgot everything.
I forgot everything.
Brer Rabbit and Brer Bear were the only things that I knew from, and I knew Zippity, everybody knew Zippity Doo-Dah, right? Mm-hmm. But they were the only things I knew from Song of the South. And there was... On Disney used to have a Sunday evening TV show that was like the Wonderful World of Disney.
Oh my God, I watched it every Sunday.
It was like 6 p.m.
Yes.
Sunday night.
Every Sunday, 6 p.m., Tinkerbell.
Yes. Like ABC.
Flying around the castle.
Yes.
And then like...
And it was an hour-long
yep.
show and they would just do like little snippets of different things. So they mm-hmm. would take like a little snippet of a movie that you'd never seen. It was like the only place I ever saw... The three, oh shit, what was it?
How do you remember shit like this? From
I remember
youth?
This one really. I don't remember things that happened yesterday. But, you know, the Wonderful World of Disney was one of the places where I saw these because they would use Brer Rabbit stuff as one of the snippets. They took it out of the film and just used the animated part. So, and so all I ever thought of was like, you know, read along tapes and golden books and like,
oh, golden books.
Little yeah, wacky, like cute, book. Fun Brer Rabbit stuff, right?
Yeah. Like Bugs Bunny redid.
Which is, you know what's funny? So Joel, the Brer Rabbit stories that were told by enslaved people in the South have been said to be the precursors of Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny, I'm yeah. not surprised because he like outsmarts everybody.
Exactly.
He's the trickster.
Exactly.
He's the trickster.
Exactly. So if you, and before I go any further, if you want like real good information about the Song of the South, listen to the 6-episode series from You Must Remember This podcast, which I probably mentioned when I even touched on this before,
mm-hmm.
but it's like 6 degrees of Song of the South, I think is what it's titled.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like 6 full hour-long episodes of deep dives on if you want the full history of Song of the South
you
and
must
all the
remember
cultural
this,
stuff.
So it's yeah. not you're wrong about.
No, it's you must remember this. It's everything that happened around it. And I recommend that you listen to that. We're just here for shits and giggles, really. Right. So, you know.
Well, the whole thing, like the trickster rabbit and everything, it's like all comes from the African folklore of like Anansi and that whole.
It's connected. Like the rabbit story and Anansi were definitely connected.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so for those of you, few of you who don't know about Song of the South, and there were some parts of this that I didn't know. But Song of the South was a Disney live action animated film hybrid. Like Courtney was saying, it was like live action with animated, and it was released in 1946. And it was a long time ago. It was the decade of Bambi and
atomic bomb.
It was right after the atomic bomb. Yeah.
Excuse me, my World War II references.
I know. All your World War II watching. I know.
What is it? What was it? 1946?
The World War II?
That World War II ended.
1945.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's when the atomic bombs were dropped in July.
Now, the Joel Chandler Harris stories talking about, Patrice, that you grew up on, and a lot of people probably were, and actually Walt Disney also grew up on these. He grew up in Missouri hearing Joel Chandler Harris stories.
That's interesting.
And these were written in the beginning in the 1880s, and I think there were like more than eight different books that Joel Chandler Harris released. And he was a writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He was he also wrote for like Confederate newspapers during the Civil War. He was wasn't somebody who was like setting up a political stance on anything, or even like a civil rights or a social stance on anything. But he became like a laborer on a farm or a plantation, and he, you know, was laboring alongside a bunch of men who were formerly enslaved, and he would hear all these stories that they told.
Right.
And so at one point when he, you know, goes forward and starts to work for a printer, and he's working for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, he's like, okay, well, you know, I want to go back to these guys and hear these stories the way that they told them.
So what year was it?
The first one was published in 1880. And so he would go back and then say, like, well, you guys tell me your Br'er Rabbit stories. And honestly, when he would say it initially, they would be like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he would tell them a Br'er Rabbit story that he had heard. And then they would be like, oh, you mean? And then they would tell him all these other ones. Because they're putting their toe in the water.
Right.
And trying to figure out, what do you know? What have you heard? What's okay to say to you?
This is only like 15 years after the end of the
Civil War, right? Exactly. Like,
oh, yeah. Big Jim Crow era too, right?
So he is like, you know, he probably looks at himself as like a helper of the black people. Like, I'm writing in dialect. All the Joel Chandler Harris stories, the Br'er Rabbit, Br'er Fox stories that he told.
All dialect.
Were all written in dialect. And honestly, if you try and go back and read them, sometimes it's like practically impossible because of how heavy he lays it on.
Yeah. It's like you have to read it
out loud.
You have to read it out loud to hear
it. And then the person that's listening to you understands it, but you don't understand it, basically.
And so he made money on it. I don't think he made a fortune on it or anything like that, but he made a living on it. And he never gave any of the men who told him these stories credit for their storytelling.
Right.
And there were the Uncle Remus stories. Well, Uncle Remus was a composite figure that he made up of, you know, the various people. And it was a very Uncle Tom-like figure that he created, an old man who wants to
be in the Bluebird.
Yes, yes, exactly. He's the guy in the movie. So the stories that were told in these books were the Br'er Rabbit stories. Song of the South was 1/3 animation, 2/3 live action, which is funny because to me, I always just remember the animation. When I was a kid, that's all I remembered.
It's Mary Poppins.
And Mary Poppins went on to do that later.
Right.
And so live action's a lot cheaper to produce than animation. And this was important to Disney because in 1946, they were in the middle of a major labor dispute. He had fired a whole shit ton of people. And so they were like, okay, well, we're going to put out this movie, but we're going to put it out cheap. And so that's how Song of the South came to be the way it was. It takes place in like this vague time period that appears to be antebellum.
Yeah.
But the producers insisted that it was after the era of slavery. And
all the ones that just want to hang around.
Yeah, it's all So the people in the movie were all purportedly supposed to be the formerly enslaved people who were so happy on the plantation that they stayed there. And the plot is there's this little white boy named Johnny goes to the plantation with his mom and dad, and it's his father's mother's plantation, I think, and it's in Georgia. And he, on the way there, he finds out that his parents are probably splitting up. His dad's going back to Atlanta to be a writer, and his, you know, his parents are probably not going to be together anymore. And he tries to run away that night because he doesn't want to be in this strange place with his grandmother in the strange place. And so he meets Uncle Remus, this old black man who works on the plantation. And he already knows this guy's name because Uncle Remus worked on the plantation when his dad was growing up on the plantation. So, you know, he's been there forever. And Uncle Remus tells him these stories about Br'er Fox and Br'er Rabbit. And it's all interspersed with these little animated stories, you know, that tell those tales. And then, you know, it's like the little boy seems to learn lessons about his situations from the stories Uncle Remus decides to tell him. And for some reason, this really pisses off his white mom. And she's like, you can never tell stories to my son again. And the boy is so upset that he decides he's going to, oh no, sorry. Uncle Remus is upset that he doesn't get to talk to the boy anymore. And he decides he's going to run away to Atlanta. The boy runs after him and runs through this field where he's been very clearly told not to go because there's this like raging bull living in the field. And the boy gets gored by the bull. And then the boy is on his deathbed. And the mom finally relents and says, call Uncle Remus. The boy only wants to talk to Uncle Remus. And so Uncle Remus comes back and tells him a story. And the boy miraculously heals. And they literally walk off into the sunset singing at the end of the movie. Like, literally.
I fucking remember zero of that.
Me too.
Did I rewatch this on YouTube, like a retelling, or did you tell this?
I hope I haven't told all of this already. But I may have told you.
You may have, or I may have tried to look it up like a synopsis after you started talking about it so I could have my memory jogged. I was like, yeah, I remember that the little white boy was like, mm-hmm. I don't remember white people at all either,
I know, but because most of us, it's just like you focus on Zippity Doodah, which is where
the little
James
blue bird.
Basket, who is the actor who plays Uncle Remus, is James singing Zippity Doodah, and you focus on the Br'er Rabbit, like animation stuff, because like that's the good stuff.
Because you're a kid.
Mm-hmm. And
in 1946.
So I pinpointed like seven things that I was like, we don't have to play a true or false game on this, but I was like, okay,
let's
seven,
do it. I want
to
play
seven things.
Yeah.
So,
I'm ready
number
to play
one
a game.
Okay. Was in 1946, was the Song of the South a blockbuster hit? What do you think?
I would say yes.
Yes.
Okay. The Song of the South made money. It was a financial success. But it was not a blockbuster hit.
Well, okay, so you said because it was cheaper and there was a labor dispute.
Yes.
But I was thinking post-war and people, I don't know,
You know, actually, you know what? If you think of it in that context, it may actually fall in another category because, like, everybody's earnings would have been kind of depressed. Mm-hmm. So
you've got a flood of the marketplace because all the men have come home.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, like all these jobs in your, you know.
And when
did
the Great Depression start?
In the 30s.
That was in 1939. No, 29.
Yeah, 1930. Yeah.
So it was the top grossing
hit. War was like
hit.
Profitable.
Yeah.
All the men came home and then now all the women were doing the jobs and then there's.
And then we're going to start the 1950s, you know.
Mad
Men. Levitt Town and all that.
And Mad Men.
So in 1946.
In Black Man.
Mad Men.
Oh, I thought you said in Black Man.
I'm going to put that back on my list. I really need to watch Mad Men. But it was the top grossing hit of 1946. But Bambi came out in 1942, made a lot more than Song of the South. Pinocchio came out in 1940, made more than Song of the South. Cinderella beat it in 1950. Peter Pan beat it in 1953. So every Disney animated hit beat the shit out of Song of the South.
But
it was still the top grossing movie in 1946.
Yeah.
So it was a success. True or false, it was considered a great movie when it came out. Critically?
I would say yes.
Probably.
So in a New York Times review in 1946, Bosley Crowther wrote, the ratio of live action to cartoon action is approximately 2-1, and that is approximately the ratio of its mediocrity to its charm.
Oh, shit.
And he was not alone. There were a lot of people that were just like, Okay, so the cartoons are great and everything, but that's only like a third of the film, and it's a really long film. I watched it. It's hard to watch it now.
Well, see, that's probably why, because I don't remember anything else but like Zippity Doo Dah and Brer Rabbit.
A lot. Yeah, so I'm sure.
I think Zippity Doo Dah may have actually won or at least was nominated for an Academy Award for the best song. And people praise the songs. They praise the songwriting and the animated sequences and the acting of James Basket and sometimes of the children. But those who did not, those who really liked the live action part of the movie were like, it's like a warm hug. They were like, it's like a wholesome family movie when all these other movies are so, you know, awful. It, you know, it's like that kind of thing. And I mean, I managed to watch it when I was getting ready to do this like months and months ago. And it bored me to tears. It is so long. It is so boring.
How long is it?
All it is children
you
whining
have
about
a very
shit.
Weird perception.
No, no,
of
it's
movie
not weird.
Length.
Listen, here's my length. Rule about movie length. If it's more than an hour and a half long, it should not keep going.
Nah.
So, but you're thinking of now time. So back then,
they were longer.
They did not like. The
have
entertainment.
Constant entertainment of 5 second clips on fucking TikTok.
Yeah, exactly. They were waiting for the revival to come into town so they'd have entertainment.
That's true. And that's like 3 days of boring.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They
like,
so
kill me now.
I really should have written down how long it is, but I didn't. It drags. It really is just about a bunch of whiny kids. And
yeah,
it's kind of painful. And there were a lot of critics who believed the same thing. But like I said, it got an Academy Award for like, or at least was nominated Academy Award for Zippity-Dee-Dah. And there were things that people really liked about it. So it was a mix. That's a true slash false.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Three, Uncle Remus actor won an Oscar for it. Did I say that out loud already and spoil it?
No, you said that he was praised for it, but no.
What do you think? Do you think he would have won?
No.
No.
He did.
What?
James Basket.
Hattie McDaniel was the first black woman to win an Academy
Award. He was the first
award.
Black man to win an Academy Award.
For Gone with the Wind.
It was, good job. Yeah, but it was awesome. Posthumous.
Speaking of, tonight are the Academy Awards.
I know, tonight as we record this, are the Academy
so
Awards.
He won it posthumous?
It was posthumous. He was sick while they were recording
movie.
And so he was diabetic. He had heart problems. And he passed away in December of 1946. So in 1948, they awarded him an honorary Academy Award for his portrayal of Uncle Remus in Song of the South. So it was posthumous.
I mean, the whole movie is so racist, but...
And we're going to get into that in part four.
And yeah, but...
So he won the first. He was the
I mean,
first
that song.
And yet, you know, you mentioned Hattie McDaniel, right? She was also in Song of the South. She played, she played the cook, Aunt Tempe, in this movie.
Yeah.
And neither James Basket nor Hattie McDaniels could attend the Fox Theater Atlanta opening of this movie, just like with Gone with the Wind, because it was too segregated and they wouldn't be able to go to any of the events.
Wow.
So he didn't get to go, but he was also too sick to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's that story. So, okay.
She's Mammy in Gone with the Wind.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Number four, depictions.
Some people don't know because never watched it.
I don't love Gone with the Wind, and it's still called like one of the best movies ever.
I do.
But I know you do. I know you really like it. I might should watch it again.
As
but again,
far as movies,
it fails my length rule.
It fails it big time. But
well,
it's
hold
just
on.
Like,
let's talk about this. Song of the South is 94 minutes long.
It's 4 minutes too long.
Oh, my Lord. It's only an hour and a half.
If you fucking try and watch it, tell me that it does not feel like 4 days. Tell me it does not feel like 4 days. It's awful.
I'm not saying it's a good
movie.
I'm just
it's
saying
so bad.
You have a very strict
I do have a very
policy.
Strict policy, but there's a reason why I have this policy. The Marvel movies are the reason I have this policy.
I love Marvel movies.
Do you love the ones that go like almost 3 hours?
I don't know. Which ones are they? I'll
I don't know.
You.
Like the last Wakanda one seemed really long.
I've never gotten bored at a Marvel movie.
I have. I'm like, look, stuff's blowing up again.
I like stuff
I do
blowing
like
up.
To kind of get through the fight scenes a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, it's gone on enough. But I just go like make a sandwich or something.
Civil War was the one that really hit me with that.
Civil
it was
War
like,
is
Civil
not,
War,
one
was
of my least
like,
favorites.
Oh my God, why are we still doing this?
Yeah, I liked it.
Okay.
One of my least favorite.
I have
favorite.
Unpopular opinions. Y'all tell us your opinions on
it's,
these things.
It's fine.
Tell me whether my hour and a half.
I like fight scenes. Like, let's hit them.
Let's hit them.
Let's chase do scenes. It. I get really bored in chasing movies. I can never watch any more Fast and Furious because of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, those movies are all chase scenes, though, aren't they? Isn't that like the whole thing?
Race and so chase.
What did y'all think of Vin Diesel the first time that you saw him kiss somebody?
I don't think I have. I've not hardly seen him do anything.
Not thought about that.
Okay.
Never thought about
why?
It. I'm just saying.
What did it do to you?
Next time.
Did it make you feel funny?
I got all tingly.
Did you go, what's happening here?
Yeah, we're going to have to dig into this more some other time.
B-side, write it down. How did Vin Diesel...
Write that down, please.
Vin Diesel kiss and make you feel.
Okay. So... back to the topic.
Sorry, I'm tipsy.
That's awesome. That's the way we should be. So the next thing was that a lot of people have said this over the years, that depictions of Black people in Song of the South were simply a product of the time it was made. And this is one of those things that people bring up a lot when they're talking about the way that especially older people respond to people of different ethnicities now is like, well, they're just a product of their time. It was a different time. It's a different way of thinking. So thoughts, what it is. Can this even be answered with a true or false?
Well, did you say, so what, I guess what's the question?
Depictions of, okay, true or false, depictions of Black people in Song of the South were just a product of the time it was made in.
Well, I mean, it was,
it was 1946.
It was like 80 years after the end of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we're talking about people, like we talking about like our grandparents and stuff yeah. like that, we know that that is true.
It was a product of their time.
Of their time.
But I'm going to say it wasn't much different for all of Latin. I mean, come on. Again, we're from the South. We know what Jim Crow laws are doing. They're like,
mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's right or anything, but I'm just saying, like, because one thing that I was told growing up is that the churches preached that people that were not white, and it didn't matter, like, you know, people of different colors, were not human.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not funny if it ain't white.
Both are the same. Both are the same.
Right. But this is what they were preaching in church.
To make fun of people who say that, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Mm.
There's a rhyme. If you want to make fun of some rednecks.
And I think
It ain't right.
A lot of the time this argument comes up now, though, to talk about 1946. And I get, like, you know, our grandparents had a different, I mean, my grandmother had a different take on all this stuff, too.
So I guess, okay, so.
But as a product of its time.
Where are you going for? Yeah.
The movie was picketed.
Okay, well, that, because people, again, there's a much bigger worldview, too.
Exactly.
At this time. People have been around the world. Like, there have been servicemen who have traveled the whole world now.
Yeah. And so there were pickets and protests of the opening of this film in every major city in the United States that filmed it for glorifying slavery and for reinforcing Black stereotypes. So it's not exactly...
In the North, they were doing
yeah,
that.
But I'm saying, like,
I'm
here...
I'm not sure it didn't happen in Atlanta. I think they still had protests in Atlanta.
Maybe in Atlanta.
They were very small.
The Black press and civil rights activists, like, kind of across the board panned the movie. Movies were still going through the censors, the Hays Board mm-hmm. at this time. And the outline, the 51-page outline for Song of the South went through the Hays Board. And the office said that certain words and phrases they had originally in the original outline of the film, they had words like massa and old darkie in the movie.
Yeah.
And they required them to be taken out. So it's like nationally, we knew better.
Right.
So we knew better at this point.
We fucking known better.
Yes. But and then exactly. Hays also told Disney that they needed to include something that said very clearly that this happened after the people in the movie who were characters were released from slavery, emancipated, and Disney never actually acquiesced to this demand. They never said
they
what time
never
it
would
happened.
Say that the characters were
yes, they
actually
never
emancipated.
No, they never did. So a lot of the like people just saw things differently back then. It's like, yeah, some people did, but some people didn't. A lot of people didn't.
Well, I guess the question is, why would you not just set it in antebellum times?
It's I'm really not sure.
Because if not, I mean, then you really can get away with
like,
the whole
oh, it's a slave. Because then they're like, well, it is like happy little slavery community like thing. And they're like,
well
that's
you were doing
not
the
cool.
same thing anyway. So my point was, if you're going to go for it, just go all the way and
but
be
see,
like,
I don't think they knew the difference.
The Hays Board knew the difference. Disney
well, I mean,
knew
like
the difference.
Well, this is true. This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say I wouldn't have, but I mean, of course, I was a child and apparently.
Yeah. I was like, as a kid. So the last time this was re-released was like 1986. And I think that's why I remembered it, because I think I may have actually seen it when it was re-released in theaters in the 1980s.
Oh, wow.
And so
that's when I had to see it.
And that's all I could think of. And I wouldn't have been old enough to really understand the implication as a white kid in the U.S. I wouldn't have understood all the implications of this. Like, no. I wouldn't have understood.
It's like right over your head, because you're like, fucking dude had like a fantastic voice.
There's a bluebird on his shoulder.
And there's a bluebird and he's talking to him.
Exactly.
And it's very Mary Poppins.
But you know, if you watch it, like the whole black community revolves around these three white people.
Well, of course they do.
There's like near the beginning, the black workers are coming in from working in the fields, smiling ear to ear all the way, singing, "Let the rain pour down, let the wind, cold wind blow. Gonna stay right here in the home I know."
I know this.
"When you're aching with misery and you're old and gray, then you'd better be thankful that he lets you stay."
Oh my God. That was a song?
I don't remember that.
I'm not saying it. Like, legit, this was like over the top.
Yeah.
And
Disney, you should have known better.
They did know better. And people kind of look at stuff like that and they're like, well, you know, maybe some enslaved people were actually happy. Is that really racist? It's not mean-spirited. And it's like,
oh my
God, it doesn't have to be mean-spirited to be racist.
No, you do not own people.
Exactly.
They are not there to take care of you and your white children.
And it's like, both of you have already said this in this conversation, but it's based on the idea that the former enslaved people were happy in the conditions of enslavement, which means they weren't smart enough or ambitious enough or human enough to know better than to be happy. And no white person in 1946 would have been portrayed as happy in conditions of enslavement. Actually, that's not right. No white man in 1946 would have been portrayed as happy in conditions of enslavement and gotten away with it in a movie.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, it actually is racist. I mean, like, that's
it's totally racist.
It doesn't have to be mean-spirited to be racist.
No, but I mean, the whole reason that they were happy is because white man was telling them to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to die.
And that's one of the things with the Joel Chandler Harris story.
That's what I was about to say. The whole point, though, of the whole Br'er Rabbit story is that we are smarter than you think we are. And we're going to sit here and pretend like we're not, but that is only for our own benefit. So we don't die.
Exactly.
And then, so if you're going to go and make a movie off of this, and it's going to be based in all those same stereotypes and then not have any irony to it at all.
I know. It's so tone deaf. I mean,
it's very tone deaf to think that the whole reason for these stories is a way to be subversive, but not be endangered as much as you already were in danger, right? Like that you can find a way to tell these stories and get these around
without
like you're the one that's like, oh, I'm just the dummy.
I'm just telling these stories to my like guy's little son who's, you know, able to tell me that I can do anything for him
at
the whim.
Any way that they wrote that so that it would show that Uncle Remus was actually telling these stories so that this kid could understand what he was really going through and what it meant to be in his position, then it could have been a good movie.
Yeah.
Well, a not as racist movie where it's like, okay, you got the point, right? The point was I'm telling you these stories that we're sharing amongst ourselves, but why are you sharing with this little white kid?
I know. And that's
his parents are getting divorced, which is sad. And that doesn't mean you can't have empathy for, you know, a little white kid, but
well, and it's like every time Uncle Remus tells Johnny a story, he takes something from it. But people kind of like at the time, a lot of people have said like, oh, it's like Aesop's Fables. It's like a moral. He takes a moral from it. Trickster tales don't do morals. No. It's not morals. Mm-mm. Trickster tales are about the little guy beating the big guy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Br'er Rabbit lies, steals, and cheats. And that is what Johnny learns from some stuff. You know, but in the books, so I didn't know this, in the Joel Chandler Harris books, Br'er Rabbit murders all his enemies. Mm. Like, and it's done in a very ha-ha, tongue-in-cheek way. But like, okay, Br'er Wolf.
Of course, when I was learning this in the 2000s,
college.
Let's get this straight about what this is saying here.
So Br'er Wolf at
one
point.
Time to rise up and like.
Seriously, because yeah. Brer Wolf comes to Brer Rabbit asking for a hiding place when he's been hunted by dogs. Brer Rabbit locks
hunted by
him.
Dogs. Hmm.
He locks him in a chest, bores holes in the top of the chest, and pours boiling water in it until he cooks. He gets Brer Fox beaten to death by a man, carries his head to his wife, and tries to get his wife and his children to eat him. Mm-hmm. Like, he tricks Brer Bear into sticking his head into a bee tree and then harasses the bees until he's just hanging dead from a hole in a bee tree and never comes back out. And I swear to God, in one of the things I read, he then gets with Brer Bear's wife. Like, I'm not even shitting you.
I'm like, tell you what's going to happen to next.
I'm going to have to go like revisit this.
I know. These are like little guy survive stories. And you hit it right on the head. It's just like, I love that they took this like saccharine version of what this revisionist history of what U.S. slavery looked like. And then they inserted these particular stories with no awareness of what these stories were meant to convey. And these ones that they told were actually the ones that they agreed to tell a white guy who came into mm-hmm. their workplace and asked them, like, there's That's other fucking... stories they could have told. These are the easy ones, y'all. Like,
that is hilarious.
I mean, so, and the last one I wanted to say, oh, besides that, Disney does re-release this on the regular. You can get it if you go to Helen, Georgia and buy the bootlegged VHS copy off of some Dixie General stores, like, you know, end cap.
Oh, Jesus.
You can also get it by streaming now if you go to Rediscover Faith-Based Television, because Christians love to hate people.
My God.
And that's how I watched it. I hate to tell you, that's how I watched it.
Look, I don't know what you intended to do in 1946, but the fact that the only place you can find it is the Dixie General Store in Georgia.
For real.
On an end cap or this other place online.
For real.
Says, it was racist.
It says some shit. Disney did re-release in 1956, 1972, 1973, and 1986. They released multiple. They've tried to make their money off of this. It's like Disney is not like, just because they put it in the vault, that doesn't mean Disney is okay.
You know, they do that, though. They do say back in the vault.
They do. But this one, they have said they promised that they would never put it on Disney Plus streaming. But they do kind of still slide this shit in here every once in a while, you know. But people still know Brer Rabbit. It's still out there. But it always, according to this podcast, that you must remember this podcast, every time they've released it, it's in a time of political upheaval. So if you want to see it, just be on the lookout, because we're coming up on that shit.
She've released it every year since 2015.
No shit. I know. I'm really surprised. Maybe they have changed. Maybe it should have been out a couple of years ago, to be honest. But there's one last thing about this, and this is specifically, what's the most popular Brer Rabbit story you remember hearing? What's the one you remember?
Oh, don't throw me in the briar patch.
Tar Baby. Tar Baby. It's the same one. Yeah. It's the same one. Mm-hmm. The Tar Baby story is the one he said, don't throw me in briar patch.
Don't throw me in the briar patch. Don't throw me in the briar patch.
So is Tar Baby a racist term? This yes. is the truth.
Well, absolutely.
Okay, good.
I would say yes.
I would say that too.
Yeah.
But, okay.
But that.
So it's come up in the news.
That's how they told the story. But again, it's like, sorry, white person, you don't get to say that.
So exactly. But Tar Baby. So Tar Baby actually was coined because of this story, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the story that Brer Fox decided to create a little child out of tar and set it on the side of the road because he knew that Brer Rabbit would be upset that it didn't respect him when he walked by, and he would beat it up and he would get stuck in the tar, and then Brer Fox could take him and cook him for dinner. So that's the story of the Tar Baby. And it's come up in the news. This was probably 10 years ago, though. It was Mitt Romney and John McCain both hit it. They both used the term Tar Baby when they were talking about difficult situations in politics. Because,
oh, my God.
And folks were like, that's a like slur. Like, you can't fucking say that. And both of them said, Tar Baby means a situation you can't get out of. Like, the harder you fight, the deeper in you get.
Yeah.
And according to the dictionary, that is exactly what Tar Baby means. It's a situation where the deeper you fight, the deeper you
get. How about just say
they
tar pit?
They could have found other words.
Tar pit. They could have. Exactly. Yeah. And this is like, and I
but Mitt Romney and John McCain,
they both use, and they both apologized.
God bless. Let's
after
just
they
say,
were
I mean,
back,
if either one of them compared to what's happening right now,
I would take
be
John
like,
McCain
yes.
in a heartbeat, y'all. I would take
we
him
forgive
in a heartbeat.
You Tar Baby.
I'd take fucking Haley in a heartbeat as
oh my
bad
God.
As she is.
Absolutely.
But so I'll just leave you this, because I thought about this one a lot, because I think about language a lot. You know, it's like, it's my thing. And I was like, you know, once a term, and I know at least one person who's going to be upset that I've said this, because tar baby, it does technically mean that dictionary definition. But once a term is tainted by a racist tendency or a racist inclination, it's like, and this is the best way I could explain it to myself and my kids, it's fucking cat piss on a couch. Like, there's no going back. You cannot decide and like turn the clocks back and say this isn't the way it ever was. You're not getting your couch back, y'all. Throw it out.
It's done brewing.
There's millions and millions of other words. Let's just pick another one.
Exactly.
Sorry.
So I agree with you both.
Change your language.
Yes, it is a very racist term.
Yeah.
Even though that is not its intentional, its original meaning doesn't matter one whit. You should not fucking say it.
We could do a whole podcast on words that were that have somehow become that.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just say a name for the person. And I have some, I know people who are nice, but let's just say you don't want to be called a Karen, do you?
No,
sorry,
man.
It's the cat piss on the couch now.
It is. It's the cat piss on the couch. And it even like makes me second guess my haircut every time I go into my haircut. I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing?
That's innocuous compared to, compared to racist terms, but that's just like the first one that popped in my head. Like,
it is cat piss on a couch.
Who wants to name their kid Karen now?
You ruin it one time. Just let it go, y'all. Just let it go.
It's done. You got to move on.
It's a respectful thing on your part to just say, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to let this go. We're not going to fight this fight. It's a silly fight to fight.
It is a silly fight.
And that's all I have to say right now about the fucking song.
We had a lot to say about it, but
God.
Well, there's a lot more people. I mean, seriously, y'all, listen to that podcast. If you're interested in this topic, if you're interested in the time period, if you're interested in anybody involved in it, Walt Disney, any of that stuff, listen to the You Must Remember This podcast, 6 degrees of Song of the South, because you can't get a better historical explanation of all of this stuff. And she goes into so much detail. It's really kind of mind blowing. It's a great podcast. So listen to that.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that's it. I have an after talk and we'll do that on the B side, which is the after talk
next week.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.